I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome back to Radio Times. Back in the 1980s, Bakiti Khumalo was a struggling musician living in Soweto, South Africa, when he was contacted by Paul Simon, who was looking for a bass player for an album he was working on called Graceland. The album won Grammy of the Year, was a big seller, and Khumalo's career took off. His fluid, melodic, and rhythmically complex style of play has made him a much-in-demand musician, performing with Gloria Estefan, Herbie Hancock, Harry Belafonte, Marian Mikeba, Laurie Anderson, Mickey Hart, Cyndi Lauper, among others. He just performed at Carnegie Hall, recorded tracks for Paul Simon's new album, and will be touring with Simon and with Sting in January. Bakiti Khumalo has a number of his own albums, both recorded in the United States and in South Africa. He lives in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. He has brought his bass to our studio for music and conversation. And Bakiti Khumalo, such a pleasure. Nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you. Thank you, Marty. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. And we are still, I think, in the process of getting everything all set up so that you can play some of your music. But I do want to go back to when you were in Soweto, South Africa, and this was, what, 30 years ago?
Yes.
Paul Simon comes to your country looking for a bass player.
Man, you know, Paul really, he saved my life because he came in on the right time. Where things were so bad that I just needed to get out. And I was very fortunate that he was looking for the musicians, and I was working as a mechanic, helping the mechanic, you know, just running around. He says, give me range 2, range 3, whatever the range is, and I'm just like running all day long. And then my boss says to me, we just got a call from people who knows Paul Simon. They told us that Paul Simon is in town, and they're looking for you to come to the studio. Do you know who Paul Simon is? And I'm like, no. And
never
I
heard
just
of
keep
the guy.
Saying, no, I don't know the guy. And then they just keep singing the songs and Simon and Garfunkel. And I said, no. But one song that stayed in my mind was The Mother and Child Reunion.
Oh, sure.
And I said, oh, Paul Simon from Jamaica. They said, no, he's not from Jamaica. He's just, you know, playing right. The reggae. So, and I went to the studio to meet Paul. But, I mean, I didn't know Paul, and then there was a bunch of people in the studio, and Paul was very kind, and we just hang out in the studio and say, just play some grooves, you know, all day long.
Well, and the reason, I guess, he got to you is that you had been a bass player. You were a bass player in South Africa at the time.
I've been a bass player since I was 7 years
exactly,
old.
Exactly, since you were a little boy.
Yes, and but, you know, the reason why I picked up the job, because my mother, she was starting to get sick, and I wanted to help out, because really the music, I mean, I record to everybody, all the groups around, but you get like $5
to play
for the LP, you know, like 12 songs, and so there was not enough money, so I picked up that job until somebody gave Paul Simon one of the tracks that I played on, and Paul loved, and he's like, can you get me these people?
You know, I do want to play just an excerpt from Call Me Al. Of course, this goes back many, many decades to this album, Graceland. But this is just a section between with the penny whistle player
yes.
and you. So just for our audience, you can re-listen to what this sounds like. Let's give it a listen. I mean, I have to say, it's so wonderful to even just isolate your playing like that. Describe how you play, and you did bring your bass with you, and I wonder if you could just do a couple of riffs for us.
All right. I have to unplug something in order to get that sound.
Okay, that's fine. In fact, I will just quickly reintroduce you, and again, talking with Bakiti Khumalo, and he lives now in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. He grew up in South Africa, and as he was telling us, was working as a mechanic in a garage in Soweto when someone knew someone who knew someone who knew Paul Simon, who was looking for a bass player, and the rest, I guess you can say, is history. Kumalo's career took off, and the album that he played on, of course, a Graceland-winning album of the year, I think this was back in 1987. How's that? Are you ready to go?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's
something
great.
Like that.
Something like that. But you, as a, I guess, a young person, or even to this day, you played a fretless bass. This is a six-string bass.
This is a six-string fretted that was built by Rob Elric. But my fretless is with the rest of the basses with Paul. So I won't see it until January.
Ah. I'm curious, though, as a seven-year-old, I mean, were you playing a full-size bass, or what were you playing?
I was playing my uncle's bass, which is, it was like an old, old Gibson Thunderbird bass, but it was big and then long. But and then I started to learn how to play backwards, you know, like over the top. Because it was easier for me to play like that
rather than holding it from the bottom.
Like this, because it was too hard. But I would play like.
Almost like a piano in a way, the way you're
playing
it on
exactly,
the top.
Well, because the piano is the left hand, right. Is the bass, you know, so it's easy for me to do.
So you still play that way, then sometimes
yes.
On top or,
yes.
Or sometimes on
and
bottom.
And it's easier, you know, especially if you have carpal tunnel, you know, so you can.
Oh, yeah. And do you have carpal tunnel? Do you know?
Sometimes,
But it sounds like you came from a musical family. Your uncle had a band. Your mom, a singer?
Yeah, mom, she was singing in the church. But before that, before I was born, she was singing for my father's group. And my father was a guitar player, and he played the organ, which is I never met the man.
Oh, you never met your dad?
No, I think he left when I was a year old, so I never seen him since then. But he was a good musician. I had everybody was telling me.
As you said, you didn't really know who Paul Simon was. What kind of music did you listen to as a kid?
The township music, you know, because we have so many tribes of people. We have Zulus, Xhosa, Sotho, Tswana, Shangaan, Pedi. So that was the music that was. You couldn't find that music on radios because the record companies they didn't want to record that music because of. You know, tonation and people, they use their own instruments that they made, so it didn't really sound good. So the record label, they wouldn't do that. But that's the kind of music I listened to. And then also there was later on, like, Motown, American music.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, and also some British music that the radio station also played that a lot. But the township music, you just hear when... You go around every neighborhood, everybody's playing something, so that's...
Mm. You played with a band. I guess you were a teenager. You used to play around, right? Tour?
Yeah, well, you know, when I was a teenager, I just really looked for music everywhere. Like, you know, people, they have practicing in the garages, so I would ride my bike to every township and look for the music until I joined this one band that had 10 bass players.
Ten bass players,
all the bass players, but they all had jobs. You know, so me, I didn't have school, I didn't have no job, so I kind of spend a lot of time while they're working, and then when they come back, they mad and say to me, "You've been here all day, you know, get out. It's my time to play." But so I kind of got stuck with it, and then later on, I was, I think when I was about 14 years old, and I was discovered by the record company, Gallo Records.
So what do you think it is about you and the bass that, you know, you're so comfortable together?
Well, you know, it's the extension of my my body and my life, something that really saved my life, you know. It was just amazing as a kid just to think about the bass, because all my friends, they would play soccer and, you know, they would do all different things. But then I picked the bass and I said, you know what, this is what I want to do.
Hmm.
You know, since the age of 7. By the age of 14, I was recording. And 16, 17, I was touring and I was running away from home because, you know, I wanted to spend time with musicians and I wanted to learn, like I'm still doing today. That's mm-hmm. why I get involved in a lot of sessions, because I want to learn and grow up as a musician, you know, and play all type of music. I take chances, you know. I mean, I took chances playing with Herbie Hancock, with Randy Brecker, and I'm like, I have daughters to feed, so I got to do something here, you know, and also learning experience.
You brought your bass, and a couple minutes before a break here, is there just, yeah, something just so we can hear you play? Just listening to?
Something that I just made up.
Oh, really? On the spot? You do that a lot, though, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely. You know, the minute I touch the instrument, I just things just keeps coming.
Right. And it's 6 strings. I generally think of a bass as 4 strings.
Oh, there's more than a 6 string nowadays.
Right.
You know, there's other bass player play like 7 or 13 strings. It depends what you play. You know, some other people, they like to play chordal and still have the bass. But
you play.
But
every
I like
day?
The 6 because, you know, I can do like the guitar melodies and it's just fun to play.
Yeah. And do you play every day?
Every day.
Every day? All
every
day?
Every day. I have
day?
A problem with my wife right now because I spend a lot of time in the basement. And she calls my bass the first wife. And I said, that's right, honey.
Yeah. Is that what it feels like to you?
Yeah, and then I said, you know, I mean, this is what I've been doing. I don't know anything else except playing the bass every day. And two, you know, like, I mean, there's so much stuff going on now, and I try to keep up with everybody. You know, like this last past week, I was at the Bass Player Life. It's the event that they run every year with all bass players, and I was playing with Abel Arborio.
Mm.
Who just got an achievement award. And then I was jamming with Marcus Miller, Chuck Rainey, all my favorite bass player. So
life is good.
Life is good. You know, the bass is doing the good job.
Well, let's take that short break. We'll get back to our conversation. Bakiti Kumalo, our guest in this hour of Radio Times. He is playing his bass. We're going to be playing some more music as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane, talking with acclaimed musician and bass player Bakiti Kumalo. And I do want to play another song from Graceland that does feature him playing bass. And this is Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes, and from Paul Simon's 1986 album, Graceland.
Say she's crazy, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of your shoes. She was physically forgotten, but then she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, you've taken me for granted because I please you. Wearing these diamonds. And I could say, ooh, ooh, as if everybody knows what I'm talking about, as if everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about diamonds on the soles of a shoe.
Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes from Paul Simon's 1986 album, Graceland. Why are we playing that? Because it features our guest, Bakiti Kumalo, playing bass. And I don't know if you knew just sort of how that album just took fire. And I was telling you during the break, going to the concert when it came to Philadelphia, the Graceland concert, and actually having to go through protesters who were protesting the fact that he had gone to South Africa. And
Yeah, and we didn't understand as musicians why this is happening. Because really, you know, musicians were struggling, and the only thing we were doing for the ANC politicians, we were invited to play some gigs for free so that they get people so they can talk about what's going on. But musicians were very struggling. So when Paul came, I mean, the first time he came to the studio, and we record with him, and he bought us food, and he bought me a case for my fretless because I didn't have a case for the bass, and I had greasy hands, and he's like, anything I can do for you? And he just took care of musicians, and, you know, so we really didn't understand why this was happening, you know. Right now, they have a movie about that, you know, the Under African Sky.
Yes, exactly.
But the guy explained that, you know, they didn't know that Paul Simon was a good man, but they thought it was somebody to take an advantage since there was so much problem. But Paul did more than just give us the music, but what he did, he helped for the Nelson Mandela's release because Paul Simon put the people together when we did a concert in Zimbabwe in 1987. All South Africans and people from all over the world came to Zimbabwe to see the show. And, I mean, for the first time, black and white together, it was amazing. He was a big part of that.
You know, I was trying to figure out the adjectives to use to describe your playing. I came up with the word fluid and melodic. But there is something about the human voice that you can hear in how you play the bass.
Well, yes, that's the thing, because growing up in the township of South Africa, always I hear the voices, you know, like the church or some tribal people passing by. Even the garbage man is singing and carrying his garbage cans and just singing. So when I first got my fretless, then I said, wow, this is just like the human voice.
Wow.
So I kind of listened to the a cappella voices, never really listened to any other bass player until later on. But I listened to the voices when they pass by, and then I'll play with them, and then they're gone. And then another group of people, they come in, and I just play with them. So I kind of developed that voice, and then also listened to accordion, because the accordion, the left hand has got that kind of bass thing. So, I mean, really my ear, I was listening to everything, you know, trying to figure out how to play this instrument, until one of my friends, he came overseas, and then he bought a couple of CDs, LPs, Jaco, Stanley. And then when I heard the weather report, and I was like, what? Is this the bass or the trombone or something? You know, I couldn't figure out. But then I said, you know what? It almost sounds similar to what I'm playing. But I just couldn't play what he was playing because, I mean, it was so amazing, Jaco. So then I started to, like, really pay attention with the fretless.
Yeah.
And, I mean, at first the tonation was not right. Because I'll play and then people, they, like, hold their ears. They're like, oh, something is wrong. But they didn't know what was wrong.
Well, I want to play a clip from, or cut, I should say, from one of, I guess this is the first album that you did in the States, Some Bonan, and this is Makaya. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, Makaya is a percussion player also who played on the Graceland, And he was a great friend of mine. He was like my father because he was older than me. And then also he was really helping me with the music and say, listen, if you don't practice, don't play the bass. You know, he was just really hard on me. But when he passed away, I couldn't say goodbye to him. And I said, you know what, I'll write a song. And I got Don Elias, who played with Jaco, to play the percussion on the track. Because Don Elias knew Makai when they came to South Africa with Chicoria. We didn't have money to go see the concert. And Don Elias brought everybody, like 10 people, and he's like, come in, you know, without tickets. You know. So when I wrote that song, I was thinking of Makai.
Well, let's listen to Makai from Bakiti Kumalo's 1998 album called San Bonan. Let's listen. From Bakiti Kumalo's 1998 album, San Bonana. I love all just the rhythms and the instruments that are going in that in that song.
It's funny, the accordion player, I went to pick him up. We used to live in Brooklyn, but in a different part of Brooklyn. So I booked him for the session, and I went to pick him up, and then we practiced the song as I'm driving to the city. And I'm like, okay, the bass is going to go like, doom, 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 doom. And he took his accordion, and he's like playing as I'm singing the bass line. And we get to the studio.
It's like jazz, right?
One take, yeah. Oh, no, actually, we had to wait for Don Elias because he was a little bit late. And then when he came in, he came back with like a lot of percussion and drums and everything, so... It was great.
Let me reintroduce you. That's Bakiti Kumalo, our guest in this hour of Radio Times. He is an acclaimed bass player, a multi-instrumentalist. Mm-hmm. He's a composer as well. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. We actually have an email from Beverly. She says, I landed in Wilmington, Delaware by way of South Africa. How is it that Bakiti Kumalo lives in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania? How did you end up in Bethlehem?
You know, when you're family man, you do whatever it takes. Well, you know, we used to live in Long Island. We bought a house in Long Island in Stony Brook. We lived there for about, you know, 12, 13 years, and my kids got the start and everything. And but we used to drive to Lansdale. Mm-hmm. Every weekend or every like Thanksgiving or Christmas, because my wife's brother lives in Pennsylvania. So we used to drive there until my wife got tired of Long Island. She's like, look, I want to move to Pennsylvania. And also she's an artist, Robbie Kumalo. She's a singer and she's a storyteller, jazz singer. But she wanted to come to Pennsylvania also to get a grant so she can do what she's doing, you know, without any problem. So she left me in Long Island for 2 years, and I'm trying to sell the house. It was fine for like, you know, a couple of weeks because he was quiet, and I'm like, oh, what a freedom. But then it got scary afterwards. But things were kind of bad. The economy was not good. But I just stayed there for 2 years. And then once the house was sold, then I moved here. It was not easy.
A good move, though, in the end?
Yes, it was not easy because, you know, I mean, I had so much connection in Long Island and I knew everything, Starbucks, and I like Starbucks. But when I come here, there was no Starbucks from where we live. You know, the only thing is Dunkin' Donut. And I said to my wife, what about my friends? She's like, well, you're going to make friends and you're going to find another coffee shop.
And did you?
Well, Dunkin' Donut, you know. I still like Dunkin' Donut. When I see Starbucks, I give Starbucks a hug. Oh, you know, I miss you. But you know, my wife, she wanted to do it for the family, for the kids, you know, because she wanted to slow kids down and then also see the family. Now it's like 40 minutes away from where we live to Lansdale. And then my kids, one of them, she's in Kutztown now, and the other one, she's in music art. 2 more years and then she'll be done.
Oh,
but this
great.
Is a great, it's a great state. I mean, like a lot of great musicians come from this state. Stanley Clark.
Stanley Clark on the phone.
Jordan was telling me. And Victor Bailey, Alfonso Johnson, who I just saw him in Germany, and you know, Anthony Jackson. So, and I said, you know what? I'm just coming to contribute to the bass family, you know.
You are a composer, and I don't know if this is a fair question or not. I mean, and you sort of composed something earlier in the hour, but I'm thinking about we're going to play Ntombo Dance and also just what we heard. When you're composing, is it on the bass? Is that what you do? Are you humming? Are you at the keyboard? All of the
above? It's all start with the bass, and then once I know the basic, and then I go to other instrument. I play a lot of percussion. And I play the drum kit, and I can play keyboard, I can play guitar. So, and then I start building some stuff. Like right now, I'm working on a new project where I'm recording Giant Steps, Coltrane, but in a, you know, with a little bit of African, and then doing a lot of melodies, and then I'm playing the stand-up bass as well. And so I just really like to touch everything and just come up with something.
To experiment. Well, let's play Ntombo Dance, and this is from your 2000 album, In Front of My Eyes.
Yes.
And what is Ntombo Dance?
Lady Dance, because this song, when I wrote this song, I remember the taverners in South Africa, the drinking place, because they always like to see the lady dance so that, you know, they can sell more alcohol. So and I said, hey, Ntombo Dance, you know.
Let's give it a listen. Ntombo Dance from Bakiti Kumalo's 2000 album, In Front of My Eyes. We do have a Facebook comment I want to read for you, and this is from Glenn. He says, I had the good fortune to host a clinic featuring Bakiti at my music store in Bucks County a few years ago. The event attracted bass players and music lovers alike. Bakiti was both entertaining and educational. You have a lot of fans out there.
Wow, thank you.
when you're, if you're trying to introduce someone, though, to the bass, I mean, what is the first thing that you show them or you demonstrate?
It depends. You know, if somebody knows how to play something, then I said, hey, you know, just spend time, practice every day, and, you know, just try to listen to all kinds of music. Don't limit yourself and call yourself, no, I play this and I don't play that. Just listen, keep your ears wide open for all type of music. and also try not to listen to a lot of bass in order to create.
Because then you end up kind of mimicking?
Yeah, because when you listen to a lot of bass, then it just drags you to what the other person is doing. That's been done, you know, which is something I learned from Paul. Like, he can never play that song again, you know, because it's been done, you know. It's either he's going to change it. But, like, you know, like I do, I listen to a lot of music. That's why now I play the kalimba, because I'm trying to find the voice and find some other things so that I'm always creative. Mm-hmm. Instead of stuck with one thing. And I see young people, they will watch Victor Wooten tapping and they want to do that. But, you know, it's hard. But I guess, you know, they can try. But it's good to create.
About a minute before a break here. But what is, you have an instrument you just referenced. What is that?
This is a kalimba. This is American one.
Yeah.
You know, they have the Western, like Zimbabwean one. And they have, you know, Mali. But this is a... almost that.
Yeah, it's nice.
You know, very nice. So, and I like the kalimba because too, you know, it just put me to sleep when I play.
Well, let's take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation again. Bakiti Kumalo is our guest today on Radio Times. We've been talking about his life and his career in music. He lives in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, was born in South Africa. He brought his bass with him to play, and we're also playing a number of selections of albums that he did by himself and also ones that he has performed on with other people. And he will be touring with Paul Simon and Sting in January. Let's take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. This is Can't Run But from Paul Simon's album, and it does feature our guest on bass. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen talking with acclaimed musician, bass player Bakiti Kumalo. And I do want to play another selection, something very different from what we've been listening to. And this is our guest performing with Herbie Hancock. This is My Man's Gone Now by George Gershwin and Herbie Hancock's 1998 album called Gershwin's World. Let's give it a listen. Again, My Man's Gone Now by George Gershwin, performed by Herbie Hancock, and our guest, Bakiti Kumalo, from Herbie Hancock's 1998 album, Gershwin's World. And to our listeners, if you want to join the conversation, that phone number 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. So you're going to do something, and I was watching you and John Aaron set something up, but why don't you explain what you're going to do, and we'll give it a listen.
This is something I'm doing. I hope it works out. You know, it's the kalimba. I just loop the kalimba. Let's see what it sounds like. Cabin, I walk a musebe cabin and go to my canda, cabin a catapi, putting in with a vangan and my nipple.
And I don't think our audience totally. You just did that.
Yeah, I just wrote this.
Right, you looped this instrument on the table here.
Yes, the kalimba. Actually, we can start with the Infinity. It's a looper that Pictronix, the company Pictronix, they make the looper for me because you know when I do live shows, yeah. I like to show people what I can do in front of them. You know, so that's what I use the looper. And I loop the kalimba, and I can loop about maybe 10 recording stuff and never lose the quality of the recording. That's what's nice about this looper.
Yeah. And what were you singing about?
I'm just singing about, you know, stuff my mother taught me, how to learn, how to click. You know, amakanda is the egg. Ikute is the rooster, you know, so I'm just making up the clicking words. Amakanda, kavele kutape kute ningubeva nina mangane po, okay. Because it's all rhythmic too as well. So when I do this. Amakanda, kavele kutapa, sebe kabena putamu, sebe kabene ngengo. Amakanda, kavele kutap. That means I don't need a drummer or percussion player because I've got this going on.
And is that, what language is that?
This is Zulu.
Zulu.
Yeah, I remember my mother, she said before I learned the language, they used to fight a lot and argue a lot in the house, and it was a lot of clicking, and it was very loud. And she says, you know, I used to cry because it was like, oh, scary.
All the clicking going back and forth.
Oh, yeah. Especially like if you're in the township and you go past by the area where everybody's drinking, I mean, all you hear is like, you know, the lot of clicking.
Now, when was the last time you were back in South Africa?
I was in South Africa 2009. I was invited to do a masterclass, and then I went back 2010 for the World Cup. I was playing with John Legend.
Oh, sure.
And Ray Parker Jr. and the great drummer Steve Jordan and Leon Pandavas, and then we played with Alicia Keys, Shakira, Angelique, and I got a chance to see my family, and then. This 2011, I went back because I just got a call that my sister was looking for me, and I said I could not believe this because I knew my mother told me that I had a sister, but I didn't know my sister. I grew up without my sister, so I got this call and I went back home and then I connect with my sister, and it was just painful.
Painful
I have to
why?
Go back. It was painful because. She grew up without a mother, and I grew up without a father. And my sister, she's older than me. She's like 2.5 years older than me. And when she was born, my father denied my sister because she looked a little bit different than, you know, than the rest of my father's family. So my father denied my sister, and then my mother took my sister to my father's family, which is another town. They live you know, about 5 hours away. My mother called my father's family to say, hey, look, I want you guys to meet me at the train station. And then they did that, and then she just left the baby and said, no, I'll be back, and she never go back. And then my father went back to my mother. I don't know how it happened, and then I was born next. And then my father left me and went back to my sister. Never seen my father again. So now both of these parents are gone, and me and my sister were just connected about, like, you know, a few years, 2 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. Does she look like you? Does she look like you?
I'll show you the pictures. She's like, I mean, we're like twins, but she has much lighter skin than mine, and her type of hair much different, but we look alike. And so my sister, she wants to know what happened to the parents, you know, why the mother. And I said, I have no idea because I don't know what happened. Yeah. And my mother, she could not explain. Every time she talks about my sister, she would cry. And I didn't understand. I was young. So and then same thing with my sister. She's like, I spent time with dad, but and he passed away. And he was always talking about you. But, you know, so it was really painful.
Very painful, yeah.
So now I'm going back after the tour is over, April, to take my sister to my mother's grave. And then she'll do the same to me and take to my father's grave and just close this book. And then hopefully come up with a book about, you know, because so much stuff to tell.
I bet. Yeah. Did she know who you were in terms of?
And how they find out, my sister's son, he's an internet person, so he had to Google, you know, Paul Simon because he, you know, he knew about Paul Simon, and then he Googled my name, and then the pictures, everything came out.
Oh, wow.
And then he got the pictures. They said he drove the whole township looking at the family members to show them the pictures and say, hey, look, that's him. That's how I got a call. You know, and I mean, we talk every day with my sister. I have to buy a lot of phone cards. You know, sometimes I call them and she's like, hello, hello. And I'm like, hey, hello, can you hear me? Hello, hello. And it's like,
a lot of that.
5 minutes, you know, because it's South Africa.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
But, you know, we are connected now.
Are your children musical?
My daughters are crazy. They can pick up any instrument and play. You know, my oldest daughter, she's going to Kutztown for music therapy. She plays trombone, she plays piano, she plays euphonium. And the little one plays viola, violin, bass, piano, drums, and then sitar. Anything that has the strings, she plays. And my wife, she plays piano, she sings. She sang with Chaka Khan, Aretha Franklin, Diana Ross, Cyndi Lauper, you know, just a number of people. And she was a New York session singer. And she worked for Paul Simon. That's how we.
That's how you met.
That's how we connected.
Wow.
And she invited me to say, "Hey, look, I got some demos. I want you to play on some demos." And then I end up buying lunch, and then the rest is history.
And now you live in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania,
yes, which is I love the state very much.
Well, I'm glad you like it so much. I do want to play another collaboration that you did. This one with Randy Brecker. This
was that was a scary one.
Was it? Well, this is his 1996 album, Into the Sun, and this is the title song.
Yeah, and he got a Grammy. Both of these albums got Grammy. Hebe got a Grammy, and then Randy got a Grammy, and I felt so good about that.
Let's give it a listen.
Thank you.
again, Into the Sun from Randy Becker's 1996 album, Into the Sun. And that's you playing bass. That's impressive.
Yes, I was so terrified. I'll tell you a story. You know, the music composer, Gil Goldstein, plays the piano and is an arranger. He lived just across the street, my house in Brooklyn. So we're friends, and my wife and Gil's wife, they're friends. So Gil came with this tape, the demo of the song, the tape and the music, and he says, "Man, we want to get you on this project." And then I said, "Yeah," you know, I was very excited, and my wife was expecting my second child. And then Gil put the tape, and I listened to the tape. I said, "Wait a minute, Gil, do you want me to play that?" And he said, "Yeah." You know, and I said, "I don't know if I can do this." And my wife, she just pulled me up. She says, "Listen, we're going to have a baby. We need to get some, you know, you got to take care of business." So, and I said, "If you just let me play the bass all day long and learn this music, please, I'll do it." And then I just spent like 2 weeks. I learned the music, look at the charts. And then when I go to the studio, I didn't read music. I just played because I knew the song so much. I mean, I played one song for like 4 or 5 times. So I knew the music, and I go to the studio. I just play everything without reading.
Wow.
And they call me OTB, and I didn't understand why OTB.
OTB.
One take Bagiri.
Oh, there you go. Not a bad reputation.
Oh, no, not bad. Everybody was like fixing stuff, and I said, I'm glad I had a chance to really spend time with this music. Because, too, I didn't want to just read the music. I just wanted to connect with the song, play like I knew the music, you know. It turned out to be a good one. It got the Grammy.
Indeed, it did. Well, it's been such a pleasure to have you with us on Radio Times, an honor and a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Marie. And I want to say thank you, Lisa Beth, for putting this together. And I know you're listening.
And that's Bakiti Kumalo, our guest in this hour of Radio Times. Go to WHYY.org/Radio Times, and you can find out much more about this program, including Twitter, Facebook, podcasts, and much, much more. Our engineers for this hour and today's edition of Radio Times, Kevin Griffin, Al Banks, and Joyce Lieberman, a special thanks to them. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, and the program produced by Susan Greenbaum, Debbie Builder, Emily Bryant, and John Ahrens. And we want to close things out with our theme music, Can't Run, but featuring our guest.